Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Into the Styles, financial.com, talking text line. You are what your record is. 2019, Gophers at 11-2 were far better than the 2024 team. 6-3 with the loss coming up to Penn State, as those boys are tough. I don't know. We'll see.
I think it's a better team. 2019
is
a better team than this, but that doesn't mean that this isn't a good team.
Yeah.
Double negative. Sorry.
Let's just not go to the Pinstripe Bowl. That would be wonderful. Or the Quick Lane. No, Quick Lane's the one that the Gophers always go to. No more Quick Lane Bowl, please.
Can't wait for bowl season.
Gosh, it's best. You know who else is the best? Kevin Gorg joining us now on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline from FanDuel Sports North. KG, we're going to talk a little wild hockey here. So before we get into Friday's game, which I'd like to chat about, I want to ask you first about going back to Pittsburgh and Marc-Andre Fleury. How special was that night? Because we saw, I think, the most emotion we'll ever see out of Marc-Andre and kind of recognizing that this is his last hurrah, his farewell. What was the emotion like in the building and in the locker room as they played this one?
Yeah, this was a special night. I've been doing this for almost two decades, and this is for certain one of the top five game memories I'll take with me. And throughout the town, all week long, there was a buzz. Even at the hotel, there were dozens and dozens and dozens of people when our buses got to the hotel in Pittsburgh looking for pictures and autographs. And he's such a cordial guy. He loves, as we all know, but he loves to give back. And the day before at practice, something I'll never forget, with the two rinks there, the Penguins had finished their practice. The Wild were on rink number two, went through their 45-minute day before game practice. We get done and we're walking back where the Wild have to change in the main part of the rink, and there's a youth hockey team on the ice, and Marc-Andre Fleury notices that the kids are all wide-eyed when he's walking by in his gear. What does he do? He opens up the gate and he goes out there and spends 10 minutes at practice. That's awesome. Going through the drills with this youth hockey team. It was remarkable watching him enter the arena, both for morning skate and the game. When he's embracing some of the folks that work security around the rink that still remember his 13 years in Pittsburgh, and just knowing how nervous and anxious he was about the game, because he admitted when we talked to him the day before that he had not played very well in that building as a visitor, and then to see the game play out the way it did, where he had a very impactful game, he played great, and the crowd, guys, I've never seen like it. They were openly cheering for everything he did against their team. And this is Pittsburgh. This is a hardcore hockey fan base that's won Stanley Cups. It was a really magical night.
Kevin, I don't think that anybody ever expects a team to get off to this good of a start, just ever, even if you're a really good team. What do you attribute it to? I'll give you my theory. I like the chemistry of this team and the fact that they have a lot of veterans and young players that seem to be gelling together. But what do you attribute it most to?
Well, Pete, you're spot on. Hockey is such a game of chemistry where there has to be that balance away from the rink, whether it's in the locker room or with all the travel they've been doing. They get along great. They really have fun together. But I go back to training camp, and, you know, the Wild learned the hard way last year that you can't earn a playoff spot in the first month of the year, but you can lose it. And they certainly did. It cost their coach, Dean Evason, his job. And I think as a group, they were motivated to get off to a better start. And then when the schedule came out and you saw that they were home for the first two games and basically gone the entire rest of October, it opened everybody's eyes. And so John Hines and that coaching staff put them through a really hard training camp. Now, I don't know. I've never lived as a player through a training camp, but when I talked to Ryan Carter and Wes Walls, the guys on our broadcast, and they're sitting there at training camp going, holy cow, this is impressive. So that was the tone that was set. Like, we are going to get off to a good start. We're going to face adversity and we're going to overcome it. And I think the work they put in before the season started is starting to pay off, because they're winning different ways. They're playing as a group. So different nights, different players are stepping up. And listen, if you're going to win in this league, two things have to happen. You got to get goaltending and your star players have to carry you. And they've had both of those things, and I'm talking big time when it comes to star power.
Kevin Gorg joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. KG, the camp looked different. There's a couple of guys, and as you look kind of look down the scoring here, obviously Kirill Kaprizov's going to get his points. But from the eye test to me, Matt Zuccarello, clearly I think his numbers are a little better to start the season. But the guy that has jumped off the ice to me every time I've watched him as looking completely different to me is Marco Rossi. He's playing with Kirill and he's playing with Zucchi. So that's at least he was Friday. That was a great line. But the kid just looks different to me. He's looked like he's made a jump, both the way he's commanding the ice, the way he skates. To you, does he look like he's a different player this year?
He looks more confident. I mean, I think physically he's the same guy, and he talked about the regiment two summers ago where he got a little bigger and a little stronger. I think it was an eye-opener when he first got to the Wild with how physical this league can be, especially if you're a centerman who's going to play down low in both the offensive and defensive zones. But he's got his mojo, Schwartzy. To your point, there's an edge to his game now. He's going to the net. He's learning how to play off of those two guys. And the one thing you knew about Rossi when the Wild drafted him, when you watched him play leading up to his time in the NHL, is this kid's a creative hockey player. And now he's playing with two guys that are as creative as any two in the National Hockey League. And he's making it clear he's assertive on the ice. So it's not just the Kaprizov Zuccarello give and go game. He's involved in the offense. And I think he's got a little swagger to himself because he feels like he brings out their best. And talking with Marco a couple different times in the season, he's a real quiet kid, but he's a confident kid. And I think right now you're seeing the best of what he can bring to the table, because it takes a unique player to play off of those two guys. And he absolutely has the skill set to do it.
What's Zuccarello doing differently? I mean, through 10 games last year, he had like two goals. This year he's got five. He's definitely more of a command, I think, on the offensive side of the ice. What are you seeing different out of him?
He's just gotten off to a better start. Yeah. You know, for a veteran player last year, I think he got really frustrated. Remember, they broke him and Kirill up, and it was hard for him to find that magic with anybody else. And I'm not saying he could only play with Kirill, but John Hines and that coaching staff made a commitment to saying at the start of training camp, we don't know a lot about how this team's going to look, but we do know those two guys are going to play together. And it seemed to give him some wings. And Zuccarello had a great camp, a couple of good preseason games, and he and Kirill have hit the ground, and they have been flying. And they love playing with each other. Their friendship it's been documented. It's terrific. The cool part is now you're seeing some of Kirill and Zuki's habits rub off on some of the younger players. And I'll give you an example. A couple of days ago, we wrapped up with practice, and we were shooting some stuff for some of our broadcasts here this week. So it was 40 minutes after practice was over. And there's Rossi, and there's Boldy, and some of the younger players that are the next wave in this organization out there working on these skill games with Kirill and Zucchi, who always stay up to practice and do all these strange shooting and passing drills on their own. And then that wrapped up, and Boldy and Kaprizov go over. And, Dave, I know you know the area at Tria Rink where all the fans congregate. It was an open practice. And they sat down there for another 20 minutes and took pictures and signed autographs for all the kids. This is Boldy and Kaprizov, your two biggest names outside of Marc-Andre Fleury, sitting there now an hour after practice, putting that time in for the fans. Going back to what Pete said about the chemistry and the tone that this team has set, it's all through that locker room. And the ripple effects of having great leaders like, again, we talked about Marc-Andre Fleury, like a Jared Spurgeon, like a Marcus Foligno. They have set the tone. This is the way we're going to do things. And I think the team right now all feels like they're on the same page.
Kevin, we really should have told you that Pete is actually off today. This is Matthew Collard that asked you the chemistry question, but we didn't mention that to you. That's not your fault. But I am complimented that you think I sound like Pete Najarian.
You do sound like Pete.
I must have been really intense when I was coming with that question. I want to ask you about Brock Faber, though, because he gets the contract in the offseason. That's a big discussion. Like, hey, it's only been 1 year. He's got the big, 8-year contract. And yet it seems like he's come out of the gate very strong, especially offensively so far. I guess, how do you feel like he's dealt with the expectations that go along with something like a contract like that?
Well, Matthew, I got to tell you, I think we keep waiting for the other shoot a drop with Brock Faber. I don't think it's going to happen. When he made his very first impression, like he had just finished up both a very emotional and energetic but also heartbreaking weekend with the Golden Gophers 2 years ago in the Frozen Four. They get beat in that overtime game, and he shows up a day later, and here's this college kid trying to make the move to the NHL. And I think the Wild just figured they'd throw him a couple of games at the end of the regular season, let him watch the playoffs, and then that next training camp try to get him up to speed with playing NHL hockey. I'll never forget it, because Dean Evason, after he finishes his normal media work, John Hines does the same thing. We have this thing called the cone where he'll talk to the broadcasters, and after a couple of games, his eyes got wide and said, this kid's far better than any of us expected him to be. Brock Faber went in, played great those last couple of games, was awesome in the playoffs, looked like their best defenseman in that series against Dallas, and then came last year. And last year was a hard year for everybody within this team, and all the injuries and all the setbacks and the coach getting fired. And there's Brock Faber playing in all 82 games, and I know for a fact played through a couple of serious injuries and was their best defenseman. So here comes, okay, now we've had this incredible rookie year. We nearly won the Calder. We always hear about the sophomore slump in all these sports, and he's come back and he's been a better player. And as recent as a couple nights ago, scored that huge goal, was plus three. He plays big minutes. He plays physical, and they put him out there against the opposition's best every single night. And the best part of Brock Faber isn't what he does on the ice. It's the kid that he is behind the scenes. Down to earth, not one bit of cockiness, loves the game, loves being a part of it, loves being on a team. Like, this kid is a dream. So you can wait for the shoe to drop all you want with this kid. I don't think it's going to happen in the Wild. I look back at that trade when Kevin Fiala was a guy they could not afford, and the whole league knew the Wild couldn't fit him under the cap, and they went to the Kings, and not only did they get Brock Faber, but they also got a first-round draft pick. That has to be the best move in the history of this organization, and Brock Faber continues to pay that back. Unbelievable.
It was a great move, and ended up being the one I think that everyone forgets about Fiala now, because it's like, hey, listen, if you had a choice, you could have Fiala on the after his good season, or take Brock Faber on the way up. I think 10 out of 10 would tell you that it's Brock Faber. KG, thanks. Always appreciate you. We will see you today, right? You're on the broadcast this afternoon?
Yeah, 4:30. For local sports fans, it's a great doubleheader. We come out at 4:30, Wild and Maple Leafs, so Austin Matthews is in town. And then right after our broadcast, we can slide over to the Vikings and the Colts on
Sunday
Night Football. Should be a lot of fun.
I'm going to be on my couch. I know where I'm going to be today. Thanks, buddy. Always good to talk to you.
Take care, boys.
KG, Kevin Gorg from FanDuel Sports North, FanDuel Sports Network. Excuse me. We'll take a quick break.
Wait, should I do the rest of the show as Pete?
Could you?
Should I just? What I should have done is just pretend to be Pete the whole day?
You need to cut the sleeves off your hoodie.
Yeah.
And you need to grow your hair out about 12 inches.
I remember when I was playing linebacker in the 80s, I tried to tackle Walter Payton. And, you know, I know people who know Walter Payton, and he's a great guy.
Oh, Pete, if you're listening.
He's listening, right?
I miss you, buddy.
Hi, Pete.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Love you. All right, we'll take a break, come back, and listen to the huddle.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.